KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you afresh for this another wonderful opportunity to hear your word. Lord, we pray that the Holy Ghost will not only deal with us, but the text teaching us that you would have us to know afresh. Give us revelation, insight, understanding to your word. And then give us power to practice the principles so that we might profit and give you the praise. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen. 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 God bless you. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 22 and verse 32. I'm going to continue this message entitled, Faith Stronger Than Failure. Faith Stronger Than Failure. And verse 32 simply says, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. One of the interesting things that I've shared this morning was that we understand if our faith doesn't fail us, then the enemy's desire, his plot, and or his plans will ultimately come to naught. They will fail. If our faith doesn't fail, though God has permitted the enemy to test you, try you, tempt you, all of it will profit nothing if you do your part. Faith is the important ingredient on your side. It is your part. It is what God expects of you to do according to his word. That's why the devil wants to destroy our faith. That's why he wants our faith to be so weak that it does not act nor operate in the word or the will or the way of God. If the enemy can cause us to lose faith, we ultimately doubt and or disbelieve what God himself has said and therefore cannot call upon God's power to help us in time of need. You're either going to believe or not. God wants you to understand that you either trust him or you don't. That you believe that he's not a man that he should lie, that whatever his word has said, that his zeal, his spirit, his power will perform it. So all I have to do is attach my faith to what God says, and God will do. I think people sometimes get mixed up in their faith because they think in order to believe it, they've got to do it. And that's not what faith is. Faith is trusting God to do what he said he'll do. And you're saying, God, I believe you can do it, and you will do it. And so no matter what comes my way, I'm holding on to that truth. Yes. I'm trusting and believing that you can, and I know in my heart you will. And so the enemy wants us to lose that resolve so that no matter what we deal with, be it great or small, we do not have the confidence in God or his word that is going to happen in this world like God said it would happen. So Jesus says, listen, Satan has made a request from heaven. And he was specific in his request. He asked for you. And then he said what he was going to do with you. He said, listen at this. Now, Satan was quite clear about what he wanted. And so sometimes you got to understand that there are specific satanic attacks against you. They may not be for anybody else. They may not be connected or concerning anybody else. It is because the enemy is mad at what God is doing in your life and what you are doing in and to the kingdom of darkness. And so he wants to get rid of you, not just you, but the remembrance of you, the reputation of you, everything connected with you. And Satan said, I want Simon and I want to sift him as wheat. So Jesus tells Simon this because he wants Simon to understand that Satan is serious. But then the next word transitions what Jesus is saying from the past to the present. But I have prayed for thee. But don't worry about that. I got this thing. But that was his desire. Let me share with you my design. And so when he says this to Simon, he says, but I have prayed for thee, for you. Specifically, Simon, I have prayed for you, interceded for you, stood in the gap for you, ran interference for you, got the message for you, waiting on you to do what you've got to do. And if you do, the devil's plan fails. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. But listen to what he says now. But I pray for you. That's his protection. Yes, but he also protected you because he has a plan for you. Yes, you see, God protects us because he's not through with us yet. Yes. And if you begin to get in touch with your destiny, you will know that it's God's job to protect me till my job is through. If he's not through with you, then you ain't going nowhere till he's through with you. No matter what the devil tries to do to you, it may look like you about to be counted out, but listen, that's just an image of what could be a shadow of death. It's not really death. And when you come to that revelation that you're nowhere near through with what God's got to do with you and for you, then you remember Jeremiah when he was now an old man, having been told when he was a young boy that he had been ordained a prophet unto the nations, that God knew him while he was yet in his mother's womb and all of the wonderful things he was going to do through him, and yet they had not been fulfilled. And Jeremiah found himself in a dark, damp dungeon. Made up his mind, since God has not done the things he said he was going to do with him, he penned his resignation letter. Yes, sir. Made up his mind, I won't speak or say anything in this name no more. And he made up his mind the reason he was going to write, because he wasn't saying nothing no more. He said, but that was a fire in me. Shut up in my bones. And look at what he said. And I could not stay. In other words, I could not continue to act like I couldn't say what was put in me to say, that wasn't from me to say, but from God for me to say. I had to tell somebody. And so when you begin to understand how the Lord Jesus Christ wanted Simon to understand, but I have prayed for thee specifically. Now, what did you pray for Jesus? That your faith fail not. I'm not going to be very long because this part of the text isn't very long. You catch that on your way out the door. Listen to what he says now. He says, I'm praying that your faith fail not. Not that your faith fracture not. Not that your faith falters not. Not that your faith fall not. Not that your faith fear not. Because if your faith doesn't fail, then the devil doesn't win. See, I got the devil. You just do your part. See, faith is connected with you. That's what you have to hold on to. That's why you have got to believe what I said. And that is necessary for me to fulfill what I'm going to do in your life. So my prayer for you is that your faith, your part, doesn't fail. Now, one of the things that I want you to understand is that if Jesus is praying for Simon's faith not to fail, it is but a glimpse of a paradigm, of an example that he also entrusts in us, that he too has prayed for each and every one of us. John reveals that he said that in the 17th chapter. He's prayed for us already. Not just for you, but for those yet to come. He's prayed for us. But what he's also praying for us is that our faith fails not. Why is that so important? Because, again, that is the part connected to you with your responsibility. He will do the impossible. You are responsible for the possible. That comes out of your belief system. That comes out of your trust system. That's the part that you can do. Have faith in God. Romans 12:3 says, God gives every man a measure of faith. A measure. That's sufficient. If you had the faith of a mustard seed, that's sufficient. And so in this life, you're going to go through some things, my brothers and sisters, lest we forget we are made of dust and divinity. There are things that will happen that may cause our faith to fall. But just because it falls don't mean it can't rise again. There are things that will cause our faith to fracture. But just because it's fractured does not mean it cannot be whole again. There are things that will cause our faith to fear temporarily. And I don't care how strong you are in the Word of God. Listen, the enemy can touch areas of your life where fear will rise up in, but it doesn't mean it has to live there. Because God has not given us a spirit of fear. It doesn't mean that every now and then on this journey you can be so high and your faith not falter. Because sometime after being able to do great feats for God, great works for God, great deeds for God, your faith can falter. And so sometimes this word is filled with examples of showing us how great men and women of God have faltered in their faith, but they did not fail. Because all of those terms are temporary terms and they do not denote finality, which means that if it is not fatal or final, it can still be fruitful. It means that as long as there's breath in your body, you can still win. Which means that just because you've been knocked out don't mean you cannot get up and win the fight. And so the truth of the matter is that the Lord Jesus Christ wanted Simon's faith not to fail. Listen, because this wasn't the end. I don't think you caught that. It wouldn't matter if it was the end and his faith failed. But I don't want your faith to fail because it's only a test. I don't want your faith to fail because there's more for you to do after this is over with. I don't want your faith to fail because there's more coming in front of you than there is behind you. I don't want your faith to fail because your faith will produce the fruit of your reward. And so there's another reason why I don't want your faith to fail. Well, what is it, Jesus? He says, listen at this. But I have prayed for you. Now listen to this. I have prayed for you specifically. But now listen at the specifics of Jesus' plan for Simon Peter after he has made it through. Now the fact that Jesus says this ought to be a helpful holy hint that he's got more for him to do. He says, I have prayed for you that your faith fails not. And when? What happens? And when? Thou art converted. And when? You get it together. And when you turn back, and when you come to yourself, and when you take your rightful position, and when you stand up after having been knocked down, and when the devil has hit you with his best shot, and you stand and say, have you got anything else? And when you are converted, do this for me. Strengthen your brothers. That's it. I don't believe you understand. Sit down, y'all making me nervous. Listen to what he's saying now. I need you to understand, if your faith don't fail, you are going to be here when the test is over. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. If your faith doesn't fail, you'll be standing when the trial is over. If your faith doesn't fail, when the enemy has done his best, you'll still be standing as a testimony of God's strength and power, and the fact that Jesus himself prayed for you to protect you, and you are standing in the power of the living God. If you keep the faith, listen, you will be here when the dust settles. Now, isn't it good to know, instead of being dust, you'll be here when the dust. Lord, y'all won't act all holier than thou. I know you've been through some stuff you didn't think you'd make it through, and the Lord prayed for you, and you are here as a living testimony because God's been good to you. When the dust settles, somebody say, I thought he would have been dead. I thought she would have been dead. I've known some folk who went through that, didn't make it out of that. But because your faith failed not, you are living testimony. I love the song that says, I am a living testimony. I could have been dead and gone, but God let me. Woo! Let me live on. Y'all gonna make me preach? Sit down. When you are converted, that's important. Because this word means to come back to, convert. It means to take your rightful place. Because what you've got to understand is you can go through some stuff that knocks you out your place. And you really can't do what you're supposed to do if you ain't in your place. And sometimes when you go through your stuff, folk can't see you going through your stuff because you've been knocked out your. But even though they can't see what you've been through, when they hear about, when they know about, when they have gotten the news that you've been through and you're still here. It's only when you get back in your place that the effect is like the Lord wants it to be. Because the whole point of bringing you through what he brought you through is so that the devil wouldn't have the pleasure of saying, now she's no longer, now he's no longer in that place. No, he's all right. Did you hear what I just said? Listen, when you get back in your place, Peter, when you've been through the storm and rain, when you get back in your place, Peter, because the rest of the disciples can't see you till you get back in your place. And when you get back there, you say, now, where was I? I wish I had a helper in the house. All eyes are on you. All ears are on you. They're waiting to find out what is the next course of business. Because now I can see you, I can hear you, I can follow you because of what you've been through. And people don't understand. God uses us to bless others. Do you know, listen, we weren't here when many of the people in the Bible, sit down. Went through what they went through. Did what they did. We read about it and by faith we believe it.
That's right.
But we need some modern day believers to be able to demonstrate for us that the word still works. That it's real today as it was back then. God needs some believers. He needs some examples. He needs some folk who are strong enough where their faith fails not to encourage those who may not be at that level. So that's why he tells Simon, he says, when thou art converted, when thou art converted, when you get back in your place, and the very fact that he started off with the word when suggests he was coming through this, that this too would pass, that the Lord had plans for him beyond this situation. When thou art converted, when the storm has blown over, when the rains have ceased, when the sun shines again, when you can say, oh, happy day. He said, I don't want you to shout all over the place and forget why you went through what you went through. Because now here is the lesson that I want you to learn if you miss everything else I've said today. That your experience, your test, your trial was not just for you. It was for the brethren. That means fellow believers. It ain't for the world. Let the world talk about you. Let them lie on you. Let them say what they want to say. But the real believer is the one who's going to learn something from that. When you go through some things and it doesn't even seem like you know how it's going to end, but you just keep trusting God one day at a time. And then one time, and sometimes one day at a time seems to be more than you can handle. So then you try to trust him 1 hour at a time. But sometimes an hour seems like an eternity. So you have to start trusting him 1 minute at a time. And 1 minute seems to be too long. You sit at the red light and you try to run it because you can't wait. You're impatient. You don't know what. I wish I had somebody. So then you start trusting him second by second, moment by moment. And by that process, he walks you on through to victory. Listen, sometimes you got to do it however it works for you. Somebody say, how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? Sometimes your problems are so high, so mountainous, you've got to take at trying to bring it down one time, one shovel load of dirt out of the way to move it out the way at one time. If you don't have the whole faith to speak it so that it moves out the way, then you ought to have enough faith. You're getting out of my way. I wish I had somebody. Do it where your faith level is. And you will not fail. Everybody isn't at that level where they can speak those things that be not as though they were. But you ought to be able to believe what he's already spoken. And start looking back and seeing what he's already done. And his record has been impeccable. And if you can find no fault in him, then you ought to believe him for the next thing. And that means stretching out a little more. But you could say, like the old saint said, he never failed me yet. I'm not expecting him to fail me. Yet don't mean that. Yet means up till now. Y'all didn't get that. I say, yet don't mean I'm expecting him to fail me. I'm just looking back at what he's already. He hadn't failed me up to now. So what makes me think he's getting ready to do it? Have I got a witness in the house? Listen now, listen. And so when you go through, while you're having your hallelujah party, he says, then don't forget about this experience. And then you ought to be like David in that 51st Psalm. Well, if you walk through that 51st Psalm after David had messed up and after David had disappointed the heart of God and after David had done some diabolical stuff that just brought tears to the heart of God, David said, I just want you to wash me. Thank you, Lord. I want you to clean me up with hyssop. I want you to make me whiter. And then he says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And then I love the way David goes on And he says, and then I'll teach transgressors. Oh, y'all not hearing me.